Would you look at somebody and just say, "Praise God, you're looking more radical every day." Jerry, do you have my song? Okay. If you look radical, you may be seated. If you're a nice and lukewarm Christian, keep standing. Well, I had a song for you because I got excited about this song. We were at that rally and there was some country western guy playing songs before all the speeches, and I'm not sure if you're going to find it. I'll wait for Jerry for a second. Yeah, I can. Anyway, it's one of those songs that when you have a real spirit of God where it says, to the holy or to the pure, everything is pure. So this is a song by a radical group, but I took it as a God song. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up to you. Anyway, that is Satan's theme song. And that's a theme song that we see in this week's Torah portion, how Balak, the king of Moab, how the king of Moab wanted to change the world. Well, this might be it, so you can sing along.
Everywhere is freaks and harris, dykes and ferris. Tell me where is sanity?
Here you go.
Tax
no.
The rich.
We're supposed to start at
rich no more.
Okay, here it is. So I'll leave it up to Bilam. Okay, you guys can cut it. Jerry, you need to be up here more often. Okay, praise God. I feel like this week we're in this story, and hopefully you know the story, where this king of Moab decides to hire a sorcerer. And he hires this guy because he's famous, and this guy is in touch with all sorts of gods. So he hires this guy to curse Israel. And he hires him, and he pays him big bucks. And you know the story, how he wrestled with God, and finally he says, okay, it's okay. And then his donkey starts talking to him. I love the fact that this donkey stops, runs him into the wall, and the donkey starts talking to him. And he doesn't say, oh my gosh. He just starts talking back to him like it's no big deal. Well, anyway, I thought it was a big deal, but anyway, we see that the king of Moab, Balak, hires a soothsayer named Bilam, or Balaam. Bilam in Hebrew means Bil not and Am people, not of my people. So here's a man that's not of God's people, and yet he hires him. And the words come forth are a wonderful surprise, which can inspire all of us, because we need to see Israel and say and do the same things. So we'll get into it here. In verse 10, number 24, Balak the king said to Balaam, I have summoned you to curse my enemies, and you have kept on blessing God's people, Israel, three times. You've blessed him three times. And how many remember what the prophet said? No weapon formed against you shall. No weapon formed against you shall. Thus saith the Lord. So the king said to Balaam, what have you done to me to curse my enemies? Is why I brought you here, and yet you have looked upon Israel and blessed him. Nabalam says, I can't do anything God won't let me do. And I can't curse what God has blessed. So remember, could somebody get me a glass of water? I'm so dry. His comments are so important that the Israelites, or the Jewish nation of Judah, has put together, has put together a prayer called Matovu, the prayer that is recited upon entering the synagogues. Is a verse from Balak where it says, how beautiful, thank you, sweetheart. How beautiful are the tents of Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Archie, would you stand up for a second? Archie has around him a tent. Would you flap this in the wind? Okay, thank you. In Hebrew, there's a Hebrew idiom about these are tents, and Paul was a tent maker. So I'm not sure he made pup tents, but I know he made tallits. And the prophet said, how beautiful are the tents of Israel. And I think it's Malachi says, how beautiful are his wings. And in Israel, when it blows up in the afternoon, when it gets windy, these Zitzios are called his wings, and there's only healing in his wings. And so we see this prayer is a really awesome prayer. And it reminds us every day to say the words of the one who came to curse. The enemy that came to curse, he can't curse. And we have walked in curses because we've allowed the curses to be upon us, and we claim the curses. But I say right now, stop. And it's time to declare the blessings. When you declare the blessings, when you get out of bed, your day is in Him. Your day is going to follow the relationship you have with the Almighty. And God's people are changing. This is not your father's church. It's not okay to sit here and be lukewarm and be a pacifist. God is raising up radical disciples of God. Somebody say amen. When I look across here, I see people that are radical, people that teach piano and make kids radical, people that speak words of life in their daily work. You know, most people go to work and have a job and say, you know, pay me at the end of the week. But I believe God's people don't have a job. They have a ministry. And they go to their ministry Monday through Friday, and somebody pays them. To what? To serve God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited about having a ministry. So, how godly, how beautiful are the tents, O Jacob, and your dwelling places, O Israel. Would you look at somebody and say, how beautiful is God's tent, O Israel? Praise God. How beautiful are you? How beautiful are the tents of God? So, praise God. So we see that Balaam leaves Balak, and then we go into chapter 25, and we see a whole different thing develop. But we see in the book of Revelation, what happens in chapter 25 is not about immorality, it's about worshiping other gods. They were invited to come to a service, and in that service, they began to see other gods, and other gods are who they worshiped, and from that, they developed, you know, immorality and some other things, if you know the story. But he says, and to the angel of the seven churches in the church of Pergamos, I want you to write this, John, but I have a few things against you. How would you like to stand before God and God says, I've got a few things against you? And we better be excited about God. I have a few things against you. There are some in your fellowship who keep to the doctrines, the belief systems of Balaam, who taught Balak the king to put stumbling blocks before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. And these areas I want to talk about today, because I believe that the doctrines of Balaam that we see John writing about 2,000 years ago are the same doctrines that all of us follow because we're Americans. The doctrines of Balaam are what run the United States. The United States was set up to be one nation under God. 39 men wrote the Declaration of Independence. 5 men wrote it on July 2nd, 1776. And 2 days later, it was approved and signed by the 39 signers on July 4th, 1776. These men, none of them liked each other and none of them agreed with each other, but they had one thing in common: to build a nation under God, even though their doctrines didn't agree. And right now, we've got 45,000 doctrines in America in the name of Jesus Christ or Yeshua. We've got so much division that it's very rare to see if a pastor over here will pray with this pastor over here because I don't want to compromise. Well, I don't care what I have to do. No one is going to compromise my faith. I've got weird doctrines compared to all my pastor friends. You know, they go to church on Sunday, they eat what they want, they do what they want. And I've got a doctrine that says I want to walk in holiness. My Bible says God doesn't change. So if God said it, guess what? I believe it. Amen. And that makes me weird among pastors. It's not okay to pick and choose what we believe. If God said it, somebody say it with me, I will believe it. Amen. I'm sorry. And that settles it. And so I can pray with another pastor, even though we don't agree with doctrine, if he's willing to pray with me. Most of them aren't. So, and it's not because I'm short and ugly, but it's because of my doctrine. The passage that we see in the Church of Pergamum distinguished itself in BC 29 by becoming the site of the first cult of the living Roman emperor. A temple was built and dedicated to the joint worship of the goddess Roma and the emperor Augustus. At the very time John wrote these words, Christians were suffering persecution for refusing to worship the Emperor Domitian in AD 81-96, who insisted on being worshipped as Lord and God. Right now in America, we've got a system, and we've been asked to really understand and embrace. In other words, embrace is to be united, to be joined together. I love your little joint sermon about being grafted, grafted into this rose thing. But you know what? In Israel, a little side rabbi trail here. In Israel, they have learned to graft olives, and an olive tree bears fruit a good harvest every other year. But if you graft a wild branch into a regular olive tree, a wild olive tree that doesn't produce or sporadically will produce a couple of olives here and there, but you take a wild olive and you graft it in and you make sure that no elements of the world, rain, air, water, anything, no elements of the world, so they wrap it in swaddling clothes. And they make sure that they put some tar on it and other things to make sure there's nothing. Nothing can feed this new grafting except the root tree, the home tree. And the home tree is Israel. And the grafting is a wild branch. It's you. Every one of you are part of the wild branch, and you are being grafted into the tree, and the root is Yeshua. The tree is Israel. We're grafted into Israel. So what we have in America are people that are worshiping in different concepts or different doctrines that are against God. These people in Pergamum, whose purpose was to divide and ruin the church by encouraging pagan practices that were forbidden for Christians. In Acts 15, 29, which Nate mentioned, it was the first commandment to Christians. the very first commandment to all of the churches in this valley, and yet nobody believes in this commandment. This was the first Gentile to first commandment to Gentile converts. And by the way, don't ever tell anybody you're a Gentile. As they give a definition, it really means I'm lost and confused and without God. Somebody say to me, I have God, I'm abiding in God, and I'm grafted into Israel, praise God. Glory, hallelujah, I'm excited to be Israel. Because God says all Israel will be saved. Am I talking about every Antichrist Jewish person in the nation Israel? No, I'm talking about those that are grafted in who are excited to know God. The Bible says that even the Jews have to accept Messiah. And that's the new Israel. And the new Israel is what God is calling today. And the new Israel is so caught up in being an overcomer. They're so caught up, they want to serve God. They want to be God's witness. They want to be on fire for God. Where they go, where they place their feet is God, because I'm anointed and this is God's land. What they place their hands to, praise God, will prosper, praise God. So, somebody said to me, I want to walk and I want my feet to establish holy ground. Because you are God's anointed. You know, if you believe that, you'd be excited and be anointed. Somebody said to me, I am God's anointed. I am no longer a lukewarm pew sitter in the church. I get a kick out of people because when you come in late, there's no chairs. You have to sit in the front row. Because we saved the back row for sinners. Praise God. Anyway, in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you haven't read this, I encourage you, I ask you, read Deuteronomy 28. There are 14 verses, 1 through 14, that says how blessed you are. And then there's 53 verses that says if you don't walk in covenant, how cursed you are. Now the cursing is upon you and your children and your children's children. It's called your heritage. What we have inherited, what I inherited. God showed me I inherited the lies of my forefathers. Now Satan didn't come to my dad and change the Bible and say do this and forget about the fourth commandment and forget about unclean. You can eat everything. Some 1,700 years ago, my ancestors inherited lies from Constantine when he legalized Christianity. And so we were born into this heritage. And God began to show me that these are things in my life that I have to break. And these are curses that I've got to break before God and before my family. And God has put it on my heart. And somebody says, how can you go to church on Saturday? Well, I'm a Sabbath keeper, not because I read the Bible and it says to do this. I prayed about it because God says, test all things. And so I prayed about it. So if you're the God who doesn't change, then why have I changed the Sabbath? And I've asked God, write it on my heart. And God says, I have a new covenant. And the new covenant says, I will write the Torah on your mind and your heart. And praise God. And then it goes on to say, no man shall teach his brother. And people say, well, see, the new covenant hasn't been fulfilled yet. Well, I have found out that when you walk in covenant with God, I don't need to tell Nate, my brother, how to walk in God, because God has a new covenant on him. And so God wrote it together, and we can sit there together and say, praise God, you got this? Oh, yeah, I got this. You got this on your heart? Oh, yeah, how about this? No. Well, then let's pray about it. He smacks me on the side of the head, and we pray about it, and praise God. God reveals truth. And so, did I move?
You did.
Okay. Well, Acts 15:28-29, James, Pastor James, was saying, it seems good to me to, and to the set apart spirit and to all of us here to lay upon you no greater burdens. So they weren't asking us to be Jews. And we see this all through the New Testament about the, what's called the Judaizers, making us Jewish. We're not called to be Jewish. We're called to be led by the New Covenant. We're called to be led by the Spirit. And if we're not led by the Spirit, you're just following somebody's doctrines and you're somebody's disciple, but you're not God's. So I lay this upon you, have no greater burden than necessary, that number one, you abstain from what is offered to idols. You go into a restaurant, and they got a Buddha right there. I turn around and walk away because I know that the Buddha is there to bless the food and bless the prosperity of that restaurant. But it's a little thing, but God has put these things in my heart, okay? And abstain from blood. The life is in the blood. That's why Israel, this friend of mine in Israel said, we love Americans because they eat the blood of bulls at McDonald's every day. And he said, the life is in the blood. So America is bullish for Israel. So I thought that was awesome. Abstain from what is strangled and from immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you shall do well. You shall prosper. Amen. So Balaam influenced Israel to commit then, and the same doctrines are being committed today. Unholy worship. How would you like it if we taught lukewarm and made sure all of you were nice lukewarm? That's the doctrines of Balaam. It's called unholy worship. And that's why we have 45,000 different doctrines. We read the Bible, and I interpret it this way, and you don't. So you know what? I'm going to start my own religion. And we get so caught up in these areas of belief system that we cause separation. You know what? God doesn't care whether you have a doctrine that is so excited you've got to share it with somebody. God doesn't care if you believe in this or believe in that. God cares about your heart. My Bible says, to the overcomers, you shall inherit the world. All the promises are to the overcomers. They're not to the person that says, well, I believe this. You know, we've got hundreds of doctrines that believe in the second coming this way and that way. We believe in heaven and hell and death and life. And I don't really care about them because my Jesus said, don't take a thought for tomorrow. Don't take a thought for tomorrow. So I'm not worried about how God's going to come back. I'm not worried about whether I get raptured or not. I'm not worried about, you know, all the different divisions. I'm worried about one thing. Are you okay with my heart? Because back in Devarim, God says it twice, that I want you to have a circumcised heart. Jeremiah 4:4 talks about the fact that we need a heart for God that's called circumcised. If our heart is not on fire for God, then you're just another Christian with another set of rules. Should I follow your rules? Should I follow your doctrine? Or should I ask God and walk in His Spirit? And we see the next one, to sacrifice to the Moabite gods. He taught Balak that. But basically, the teaching of sacrifice to the carnal gods. If it feels good, praise God, it must be right. Hallelujah. And we sometimes allow that to overcome our walk with God. And the fourth one is to eat food dedicated to gods. I'm not worried about whether you eat pigs or not. You know, that's between you and God. But you know what? We consume foods that are unclean spiritually every day. And we, in the last days, need to ask God about what we partake of. Because food dedicated to the world system in the spiritual realms is what we have been partaking of. And God says to eat off of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Praise God. So anyway, the legalization of Christianity by Constantine in 313, Constantine pursued a compromise. He had a nation that was divided with Jews and Messianics and Muslims and sun worshipers and Satan worshipers. He had a nation that was so messed up, and so he created a compromise that we're all going to worship our God together. And so because he was a sun god worshiper, he allowed Sun God Day to be worshipped by Christianity, by Messianics, by Jews and Muslims. And he didn't care that their God said, you know, keep the Sabbath holy, or the Muslims on Friday afternoon. He didn't care. He said, we're going to compromise, and we're going to have a union of compromise. Now, when America decides when we're going to worship and which day we're going to worship on, I'm still going to worship God and keep the Sabbath holy. So the place of sun worshipers, he changed the day of worship from Sabbath to Saturday on the fourth nominal conversion commandment. I don't know why I said that. The fourth commandment that we see in the ten, he changed that day of worship to the first day, and many pagan doctrines were introduced into Christianity in an attempt to unite the people within the entire empire and strengthen it, and thus started this inheritance of syncretism. When we realize what we've inherited lies, according to Jeremiah. This new position that Constantine gave the church that had been persecuted by Nero, you remember about the lions and all these kind of things, that was a Christian persecution, and Constantine said, no more. All you Christians now can worship God on Sunday, and you have the freedom to worship God on Sunday. And so in America, I actually heard a comment that the only freedom that you have or should be given to you by the government. I've got freedom because I'm born again. I've got freedom in worshiping my God. I've got freedom. And that's why sometimes we play the song by Jason Upton, and it's got a violin intro. Freedom! And I screamed that at that conference at Wendy Showed, because I believe we have freedom from God, and we have rights from God, and whether they're going to take it from us or not, we still have that right. Somebody say freedom. Somebody say freedom.
Freedom!
Okay, all right. Can somebody yell it? One, two, three.
Freedom!
Amen. Amen. Tony was the only one that yelled back there, so. Anyway, so in other words, Balaam the enemy achieved prosperity, what he could not achieve with persecution, he achieved it with compromise. And so they were invited to the worship service, and you know what happened. 24,000 people died just before the census. And our census is down from 39 years earlier. So Jeremiah 16:19 says, our fathers have inherited only lies, falsehood, futility. There is no value in what their faith has. We inherit from our forefathers. We've inherited this concept of allowing the government to dictate what we can have. And I believe that the remnant of God is going to stand against the areas of doctrines of evil. Everything that's against God, everything that's against God, every concept, every law, every doctrine that is against Yahweh, not against religion, I'm talking about the real spirit of truth. And the truth will what? And Leanne? Thank you. she still has it. Okay, so praise God. In Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read through this real quick. There's I paraphrase 14 verses, but realize that our relationship with God is an if-then. If we keep these commandments, all these blessings will overcome us, and if we become an overcomer. So if you diligently obey and guard, Shamar, guard, Elohim, God shall set you on high above all nations. Somebody say, wow, glory to God. Glory to God. These blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Somebody say, wow, glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed are you in the city and blessed are you in the field. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen. Blessed is the fruit of your body, the fruit of your womb. And blessed is your ground that I've given you, and your livestock or your business will be blessed. So somebody say, praise God, hallelujah. Blessed is your basket. Your basket is what you work in, and your kneading bowl is what you do with your hands. So somebody say, thank you, Father. Blessed are you when you come in and when you go out. Praise God. How many went out of your house and are going to go back in? How many came into the church and are going to go out of the church? Well, God said, well, bless your heart. I will bless you when you go in your church, your synagogue and come out. I'll bless you when you go into your house and come out. I'll bless you when you go to the big city Grand Junction, and I'll bless you when you come back to Frida. When you read these and you believe in these, they can be exciting. I mean, I can read the Bible and go, ho-hum, read the Torah again and again. Or I can read the Torah and say, blessed is Curtis, who is blessed when he walks in and blessed when he walks out. Well, praise God. I walked in and I walk out, and now I'm blessed. And when we're blessed, we walk in light. And the enemy is going to destroy light. And the enemy is going to destroy light like back in Egypt. In the plagues, there was darkness so heavy you could feel it. And darkness all over the land. Wherever you went, it was dark. You go see Bob, and Bob's house is dark. You go see Sally, her house is dark. And the darkness was so bad you could feel it. And then you cross the border into Goshen. And it's like, whoa! There was light. Because Goshen is where Israel lived. And somebody should say, you've got a Goshen bubble around you. You've got a Goshen bubble around you because you've got light. And when you declare light, you declare God's anointing on Goshen. And praise God, I've got a Goshen bubble on me. No matter where I go, I've still got a bubble on me. And it's not called obesity. It's called a bubble around me. So you're welcome. Your enemies will be smitten before your face. Praise God. Instead of cursing God for my enemies, instead of cursing my enemies, we're supposed to say, praise God, hallelujah. We've got a test, and God's going to strengthen the test because I live in a bubble that's called His. And guess what? No weapon, no enemy, no problem, no situation formed against me shall prosper. Unless I plant the seeds and don't pay my taxes and the government comes after me. Well, that's not the enemy. That's your own stupidity. Because we live in a world that we're supposed to abide by the world, but we're not supposed to compromise. Praise God. And as we continue in these 14 verses, your enemy may come against you one way and flee seven ways. Isn't that, can you just picture that? Your enemy comes to you, wow, praise God, thank you, Jesus, and they bounce off your Goshen bubble, and they have to run seven different ways. Because God says His authority is what gives His people the right to praise Him. Blessings on your storehouse. There's a food shortage coming up. Everybody says we need to hoard food. We need to get more canned tuna in our house. And canned roast beef. You get what you feel like you should get, and then you say, God, I want to walk in covenant. I want to be on fire for you. I want to have a heart for you, and I want you to bless my storehouse. So much so, you'll become a lender. Bless your storehouses and what you set your hands to. Praise God. Praise God. How many have a job? You've set your hands to the job. So God should bless that. And let's see. As a set apart people, the word holy means set apart, kadosh. As a holy people, all the people of the world shall be afraid of you. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Praise God. Then all the people of the earth shall see that the name of Yod Heh Vav Heh is called upon you. The name of Yahweh. I think that's a typo up there. I can't see. Anyway. When the world sees that you serve God, not Elohim, not God, because there are 6 million gods in the world, and most of them speak English. There's only one Yod Heh Vav Heh. There's only one true God. There's only one God that is redeeming His people. And you can say that, reveal the truth in me so the world may see Yahweh on my head. Praise God. And His good treasure to give the rain to you in season. Praise God. And you shall lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. Isn't that awesome? Right now, don't answer this, but how many are in debt? Okay? Then somebody has you under their thumb, because debt is what God says you should not have. And so if you're in debt, I encourage you to make a plan, 5 years, 7 years, make a plan to be debt-free. Because there's going to come a time when we're going to need to maybe flee. But if you've got debt, you can't. There's all sorts of reasons why debt. The word for debt in the Hebrew is neshah. And you know what it means in Hebrew? To give somebody the right to take a bite out of you on a regular basis. So I signed a paper that says, you may bite me for $3,000 a month, and I will not complain. And I sign it in blood. Oh, not only that, this debt that allows me to bite your tailgate out of you for $3,000 a month is now going to be with you and upon you for 360 months, 30 years. I'm not going to live 30 years. It's all right, sign it anyway. We'll pass it on to your children. Oh, thank you so much. And my kids say, hey, praise God, we just got your house, and you owe more on your house than it's worth. But you had to pay for it, Wendy, and Andrea, and Yvette, and Kurt. Anyway, let's see. And you shall, and do not turn aside from any, do not turn aside from any of the words. Did John say that Jesus Christ is the Word? Praise God. Or any doctrines, any doctrines. Don't turn aside. Don't be interested to go down to a Moabite worship service. You might end up being stabbed by pinches. I think six of you read the story, so. Which I'm commanding you today. Don't go to the left or to the right. Don't go after any other mighty gods. And don't serve him. And then all these blessings, oh, I love this, all these blessings shall come upon you. I love it in Revelation where it says, to he who overcomes, all the blessings will come to you. So overcome temptation, overcome sexual sin, overcome lust, overcome unforgiveness. I don't care what they said. I don't care what they did to you. If you can't overcome, you have darkness all over you, and you have, I'll just say it, you have no authority in the kingdom of God. But when you have forgiveness, when you have cleanliness, you have light. And the light of the world is over to come, new age. And new age is so strong that there's particle colliders all over the world. There's over 50 or 48 in the United States, and they're trying to create darkness, and they're trying to control the DNA of all those who are vaccinated. Let me tell you this. If you're vaccinated, the world says you're going to be under their control. But I say, if you've been vaccinated, go to God and say, if my DNA is being changed, change it to serve you, praise God. And God's authority has the power to overcome everything New Age is telling us about the vaccination, about the DNA being changed, because what the world says is what God says. I can change. I can overcome the world. I can overcome any COVID or any vaccination. COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, COVID-25 is going to be the big killer. And God says, I can overcome it. Praise God. Amen. Do we have fear? Yeah. Fear is part of our life. We're born with fear. How many are afraid to step off the cliff? You know, how many? We're born with a natural fear. But God says, I have what's called faith. Emunah. Say that out loud. Emunah. I got so much emunah, you can jump off the cliff and I won't worry about you. That came out wrong. I meant to say, I got faith enough for all of us. So, anyway, praise God. Anyway. I'm trying. So what do we have today? What's in the world? We've got the realms of Satanism making particle colliders that are going to change light into darkness. We've got the people that believe that the COVID vaccine is going to create a world full of dark people that are going to be so depressed that suicide is the only option. The world believes these things. But God's people can overcome. I encourage you to read Revelation 2 and 3 about the seven churches. Because the seven churches say, to he who overcomes, to she that overcomes, we will inherit, not the syncretism of our forefathers, will inherit the light of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus knew about these things. He knew about the particle colliders that are going to create darkness. And he said, you can overcome because you are the power of the world is called the light, and the light is energy. And every person emits energy. It's estimated that within 60 meters, 60 meters, 180 feet, my presence is in that 180 feet. And my presence is darkness. When you walk into City Market and you cross that line right there where the door is, say out loud, the light of the world has come, because that's me. When we change our attitude, when we change our vocabulary, when we believe that God's light is going to overcome the world and that we're part of it, praise God, we're not going to be judgmental anymore. We're not going to worry about this. If Jim Starr has a problem, guess what? I'm going to go to God and say, fix this man's brain. But I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to badmouth him. I'm going to just go to God, because the light of God is in me and the light of God is in him. And so the light of God is being restored in these last days. Amen. Amen. So today we have our government. I love the fact that the person behind most of our government leaders is named Balak. Oh, I mean Barack. And Barack owns Joe and Nancy and Hillary. And they do not want to give you rights. But you know what? They can take all of my rights away and I still have freedom. Amen. They can take every one of my rights away and dictate my lifestyle, dictate what I do on Saturday or Sunday. They can dictate whatever they want, but I've got the freedom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't die so I could be lukewarm. He died to make me a disciple. And every one of the disciples of Jesus, every one of them were so radical, they changed the world. That was then. You know what? That's going to happen now. God's people are going to be so radical, they will change the world. Okay, let me say that again because I had two people get excited. And the rest of you, I want you to stay for the altar call. God's people are just going to be like the disciples because they're becoming disciples. Wendy has a class this afternoon that says, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then be in her class at 2:15. Or square. Anyway, God's people are going to be so radical that we're going to change the world. Somebody say hallelujah, glory to God. And now stand up and say, God, let me be part of the radical remnant of God. Praise God. Our forefathers said, one nation under God, the liberty that the rulers allow us, or the liberty that God gave us. Which one? You choose. Immorality, like abortion, like lawlessness. Today's systems are the doctrines of Balaam, and we can come against them. Praise God. Somebody raise your hand and say, I'd like to close in prayer because I feel super radical. Go ahead, both of you. Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Father, for this wonderful Shabbat. Thank you, God, for Wendy, for Pastor Curtis, for everyone here. And I ask that these messages come in our hearts and we live by them and we live according to your will. Amen.
Amen.